Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, October 9th, 2017. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
Hey, that's me.
It's totally you.
It's totally me. I'm good. Thank you for having us. Good weekend.
Yes. It was a
perfectly
really nice
ordinary
weekend.
Monday. Nothing particularly unusual or noteworthy about this Monday. Looking forward to a great week.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to a great week as well. And Jeff Butts, how are you, sir?
Wasabi.
You know, I have a wasabi story for you real quick.
Okay.
So had sushi at the grocery store the other day.
Always a great idea.
I live on the edge. First, I'm here to talk about it, so go me. Second, I'm just always so disappointed when I do that, because you don't get wasabi with your sushi. You get horseradish with a green dye in it.
Oh, yeah. That's cheating.
It's totally cheating, but it's a lot cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very common.
Yeah, and it's always just so disappointing.
Well,
that's a terrible wasabi story.
I know.
I've got a better one.
Okay.
And it's short. When I lived in Boulder, mm-hmm. which I don't know if you know that I lived in Boulder in 1997.
I did know, but for sake of argument, oh my gosh, I didn't realize it's so cool.
Yeah.
You used to live in Boulder.
I used to live in Boulder. And my roommate and I went to some fast food sushi place. It might have been Wok and Roll. It might have been something else. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But we sat and we watched a guy come with his plate of sushi, and we watched him take the wasabi and a knife and spread a big hunk of wasabi on a piece of sushi like it was mayonnaise.
Oh, my God.
He put it in his mouth, and then you could almost see the steam coming out of his ears. And he's fanning his mouth and downing water like there's no tomorrow.
That's great.
Yeah, that's my wasabi story.
Oh, man, I love that. That's a lot better than my story.
Yep.
Hey, speaking of stories, I'm sorry, Brian. I just can't do the non sequitur transitions as well.
There is a talent, we'll call it, to doing awful segues.
Yeah. I'm working on it.
Here's the segue. Mm-hmm. Dun 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 dun.
You know, we're totally going to go with that because it's appropriate. Farewell AIM, AOL Instant Messenger.
Yep.
Yeah. Funny. Interesting. Like, kind of like the story that you wrote in the week before last. AIM is still around?
Yeah. You know, with messages and Facebook Messenger, I don't think I've used AIM since 2001.
No, and so AOL is going to delete your – actually, Oath. Oath is the new poorly named company.
Yeah,
Verizon.
OAuth.
It's OAuth, though. It's not even Auth.
Oh, it's not even Auth. It's OAuth.
It's Oath. It's actually Oath. Okay. Like, by my oath, it's Oath. Like, and anyway, so they say they're going to delete all your data. It's Verizon, so honestly, I don't believe them for a second.
Right.
But they say they will. And I just, you know, as much as I want to sort of, you know, do a little snark on how LOL AIM is still around, I have vastly fond memories, and I think that we all owe everyone who uses iMessage or even to, you know, Facebook Messenger or WhatsApp or any of the things like that. If you use it, you owe a debt of gratitude to AIM, because AIM did a lot of pioneering stuff.
Oh,
and they
absolutely
had a really, really good engineering team back in the day.
AIM was what kept my second marriage alive for as long as it stayed alive. Because when I was on the road working on air-filled lighting control systems, that was the best way for my second wife and I to keep in touch with each other.
And it's how the Mac Observer conducted all of its, cross-country, actually global operations from our very, very scattered team.
Really?
Long before Slack and Skype were possible to do this sort of thing. And before iMessage was a thing. AIM was the way that we communicated on a daily basis for years. So I honestly, AIM made TMO possible in a lot of ways. So I have a huge, huge soft spot in my heart for that platform. And it makes sense that Oath is going to kill it, but and it's not really relevant anymore, and that's why they're killing it. But fond memories.
Yeah. Yep. You know, if I could remember my password, I'd totally log back into it one or two more times before it's completely dead.
You know, and I know this doesn't apply to you, Jeff, because you weren't a Mac user at the time. But if you were, you probably still have that password tucked away in Keychain, because if you were an iChat user back in the day, it was AIM accounts that drove
the first powered iChat.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? If I hadn't had to blow away my keychain at some point between my first Hackintosh and now, I might still have it.
Hey, well, you know, wait a minute. If you were using back in those days, if you were using this, it's probably out there on the internet thanks to the Yahoo data breach.
Oh, sure. Just do a Google search. You'll probably find your username.
All right. Yeah, I'll do that.
Well, hey.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, we did that back in the day, right?
Yeah.
Same password everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So now that we've gotten that happy note out of the way, here's another happy note, but it's actually a lot happier. And Brian, I think this one's going to make you happy. So you know how you and I have been ranting a lot over the past few weeks about iTunes 12.7 and the lack of App Store support and the lack of the ability to manage apps on your iOS devices directly in iTunes?
Why, yes. Yes, I do.
Turns out, all along, we've been able to do that if we had installed iTunes 12.6.3.
So Apple has a simultaneous release out now of iTunes 12.6.3 and 12.7?
Yes. What they did when 12.7 was released, they forked and had the main version, 12.7. That's what everyone is supposed to be using. But they also released 12.6.3 just kind of quietly, because if you are doing like volume license deployment, or you have a business where you have to do enterprise rollout with iTunes for apps, well, you need to still have app support in iTunes. So Apple quietly released 12.6.3 at the same time, and I have links to where you can get the download in an article today.
Can you install it over 12.7? Because Apple's never been cranky about that.
You absolutely can. Yeah, it'll totally install over 12.7. Now, what happens once you do that, of course, is now you've got 12.6.3, which works the way you want, but you won't get notifications for app updates for iTunes after that, because now you're out of the main path for iTunes. So, you know,
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I had a feeling you'd be okay with that.
But how long is it going to last? I mean, is this just a stopgap measure until they get something else in place?
I have a theory.
Oh, Brian, okay. What is your theory?
It could be Bonnie's. Oh, sorry, wrong show.
Just for that, I'm going to sing.
I have a theory. That they got the mustard out, and that for Apple to release this means that. So, all right, so I got to back up, because the observation, the tip that we had, right, was from Abhi Vakil, right? Said that Apple quietly released iTunes 12.6.3. This was on the Facebook, I think. And then he said the fact that Apple didn't call it iTunes 12.7.1 doesn't bode well for app syncing via iTunes in future versions, though. What I think it does do is bode well for some kind of Mac-based syncing solution from Apple. That's what I think.
Okay. I like where you're going with that, and I'm going to add, as they say during Apple Learnings Reports, a little color. So this update came out at the same time as 12.7. So not calling it 12.7.1 makes sense.
Yep.
And it's just been out there for a couple of weeks, and we just didn't know it. So I think, Brian, that the path you're heading down totally makes sense knowing when this version was released. So, Jeff, when you said, is this a stopgap? I think, yes, 12.6.3 is a stopgap until Apple rolls out whatever it is that they have ultimately planned for app management on the Mac. But here's the part where I think it's going to get sucky for people like us. Mm-hmm. I'm betting this is going to be part of their mobile device management system. Yeah. So it's not going to be available to regular users like us. You're going to need to be part of mobile device management.
It's completely insane for Apple not to give those of us who want it a way to browse apps and buy them from our Macs.
Hold on a second.
It's completely insane.
Can't anyone install and use Apple Configurator?
Yes, but average users are not.
But that's only going to help you manage your apps, right? It's not going to help you browse and buy them.
It depends on what they do. They could easily add that into Apple Configurator.
Mm-hmm. And then that would keep it in the MDM family.
Yeah, but right. But as of right now, you can't.
Right.
So that would be fine. All I want is a way to be able to use my Mac and a keyboard and a trackpad or mouse to browse apps and get links and all of which I personally find to be easier from my Mac. It's all Apple needs to do. This is ridiculous. This approach that they have taken, just extracting it from iTunes without providing something in its place, is ridiculous. This is like amateur hour.
Gentlemen, calm your sphincters. I agree with you, Brian. It is ridiculous. It is amateur hour. Apple should have had a tool ready for us before releasing 12.7.
Yeah.
Well, they clearly didn't. Hence the forked iTunes.
Right. So, that they didn't tell anybody about.
Yeah, but there's a Knowledge Base article out there, and my guess is that if you were doing volume license deployment, or you're doing like enterprise deployment, that you were either finding out about this as 12.7 was dropping, or as soon as you contacted Apple support and said, hey, what's going on? And they're like, no problem. Here's your links. You're fine.
Okay. Now, my question is, I heard somewhere or I read somewhere that 12.6.3 is unsupported. Is that true?
It's unsupported. Yes. Let's just go with that.
Okay.
Because that will be the easiest way to explain it. It certainly won't have any updates or isn't expected to have any updates. And if you call Apple and say, I'm having a problem with iTunes, and you say 12.6.3, they're going to tell you upgrade to 12.7, and then we'll talk.
Okay. And that's why I fully believe this is just a temporary thing.
Well, it is for sure a temporary thing. Apple is not going to maintain two forks of iTunes. The question is, what is it temporary for? Is it temporary to just continue to say, screw you? Or is it temporary for a solution to be reintroduced that actually has some sort of viable long-term future? That's the mystery.
No, it's both. So they have something coming that's going to be a viable long-term solution. But
you think?
I'm almost done. But it's also a screw you for us because it's not going to be for the public.
I can't believe, I've heard from too many people. I think there are enough of us that want this that they're going to need it to be for the public.
I think it'll be a tool that the public won't really know about until we tell them about it.
Okay, well, I hope that's the case, because I would love to have a way to manage apps from my Mac when I want to, and more importantly, to be able to access the iOS App Store from my Mac. That's a huge thing for me.
Mm-hmm. Ditto. Same here.
Yeah. So, happy dance. Woo!
I'm going to go back to 12.6.3.
Yeah.
Thanks for telling us about it.
Sure thing. Yeah. The whole point of talking about it on the show today was to give you a brief moment of happiness, knowing that you were getting back a feature you really wanted.
But all it really did was make me cranky.
I see that now.
It's like you're just meeting me.
You know, I try, and yet I lean into the curveball.
Mm-hmm. It speaks well of you and poorly of me. So, you know, there you go.
Well, here's another topic that probably is just going to devolve into a rant as well. So the Electronic Frontier Foundation, EFF, mm-hmm. they issued...
love those guys.
Yeah, so do I. I really do. They
should do important work.
They do. And their important work right now is calling out Apple on iOS 11. So over the weekend, they issued a statement saying that they feel that the way the Wi-Fi and Bluetooth buttons in iOS 11's control center work is misleading and is a security risk, because what people are expecting is iOS 10 behavior, where you tap the button and it turns off the radios. And what you get instead, which we've talked about on previous episodes, is a thing that works essentially like a firewall, blocking everything but Apple's own services. And then it gets...
And it disconnects you from anything you're connected to.
Right.
Yes. And it tells you what it's done.
But it's weird.
Yeah, it tells you what it's done, but it doesn't tell you everything that it's doing. It's not as clear as it could be.
No.
And it's also, it wasn't necessary. This isn't fixing some, like, oh my goodness, finally they made it to where those buttons don't do what I expect them to. I mean, right? No one's, who was clamoring for this particular approach?
My guess is that they're was a large enough percentage of people calling Apple support not understanding why their Apple Pencil stopped working or their Apple Watch wasn't communicating properly anymore.
Yeah, this wasn't the right solution.
Yeah.
And so, but this is a weird thing for the EFF to be bothering with.
Well,
and this is a UI issue from Apple's.
How is it a security problem? Is what I want to know.
Okay, so here's where the security part comes in from the EFF's perspective.
Okay.
If you tap the Wi-Fi and Bluetooth buttons in Control Center and you believe that you have turned off the radios when in fact you have not, mm-hmm. you may have a false sense of security, thinking that no one's going to be able to remotely hack into your device over those radios.
I love the EFF, and I'm with them in principle on this issue. But anyone who is disconnecting their radios for that particular reason is probably going to be savvy enough, tech savvy enough, to understand that it's not happening. So yeah. This is a weird thing for them to call Apple out, even if they're. I mean, they're right. I mean, this was a weird UI choice for Apple. This is a weird UI choice for Apple. And, yes. you know, especially when you look at the fact that in iOS 11, in the new control center, which is, you know, much different and vastly expanded, as we've talked about, you can press and hold on most of the buttons and they expand to give you more options. Mm-hmm. Apple could have included the ability to disconnect, you know, to do the behavior that is currently default. They should have made that an option that was accessible when you tapped and held those buttons.
One of those platters, yeah.
The default behavior should have remained turn off.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm going to call horse pucky on the EFF's claim that this is a security risk, though, because it disconnects Wi-Fi, prevents you from logging on to, or prevents you from automatically joining Wi-Fi networks.
Until
you change locations. Okay.
Or 5 a.m. the next day.
Right. Now, they're possible security risk, but it's iffy. Through Bluetooth, it stops any incoming Bluetooth connections other than from your Apple Watch or your Apple Pencil.
Yeah, it's really it's a bad UI choice. I don't see it as much of a security risk.
No.
I really don't.
All right.
Well, I think it's confusing more than anything else.
Because people aren't okay, reality check on this. People aren't using those buttons the way they were using them in iOS 10 and before. they're not using them for security usually. They're usually using them for batteries, saving battery power.
Right. Yes.
Right? So, yeah. So, anyway. Still, I'm glad that someone's yelling at Apple besides us.
All right. So, we're out of time, but I'm going to share with you something I discovered over the weekend, which I will turn into a tip for Mac observers so it's easier for people to follow. If you enable airplane mode from the control center or from settings, and then you re-enable one of the features or radios. So, like, let's say I just don't want Wi-Fi running. So I go into airplane mode and turn Bluetooth back on. Mm-hmm. iOS 11 remembers that. So the next time you enable airplane mode, it only shuts off the Wi-Fi and keeps Bluetooth
really?
On.
Well, that's cool.
That also seems like that. I question that too.
Does that persist across reboots?
Yes, and I have tested that unintentionally. When this morning I accidentally force rebooted my iPhone.
You going to do a little article for us?
Of course I am.
Awesome.
Yeah, yes. because it's cool, but it's something people need to know about because that could be a security issue.
Sure. Yep, the more you know, the less likely you are to unintentionally stumble into a security issue.
Or, as they say over on Mac Geek Gab, get caught.
That's right. And, as they say on G.I. Joe, knowing is half the battle.
That's right.
All right, hey, we're out of time, so we need to wrap up. Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Indeed. Thanks for having us, man. Good times.
Oh, yes. It's great to have you here all the time. And, Jeff, thank you for being here as well.
Love it, man. Always love it.
Ah, me too. Listeners, thank you for being here, and we'll see everyone again tomorrow.